a Christian who glorifies God. And sometimes I surprise him and I say, well, David, how are you going to be a Christian that glorifies God today? Right? A little ritual that we do, right? And some days they go, oh, Dad, do we have to do it today? But you know what? There are days that Grandma and Grandpa take him to school. You're forgetting something, Grandma and Grandpa. Come on, get up with the time. Right? They know what's coming. And they expect it, and they learn from those little rituals that we do. All right, one more thing. Prayer is communication with God, and when we communicate with God, it changes us. This is true with us, but it's even more true with children. This is even more true with children. I haven't found any studies on this, all right? You might call it an Ericism, I don't know. But I believe that there must be a physiological change in people, and especially children, that have prayer in their life. Maybe there's not a physiological change. Maybe it just opens them up to a world that those of us who don't have a prayer life aren't open to. I don't know what it is. But you know, here's an example. And this is proven. This is measured. When a child starts playing the piano around 8 years old, the hypothalamus, which is the part of the brain in the center of your head, swells. And it improves the communication that takes place between your two lobes, right and left side of your brain. Now, ladies, you're already ahead of the game of us guys. You know, because whenever you're in the womb, a testosterone wash comes over you, and as far as guys are concerned, and it kills some of those synapses in between the two lobes. But you ladies, you got it going for you all the time already. All right? Guys, I guess we have an excuse. No. Anyway. But they found that when kids play instruments that require both hands, such as a piano, the hypothalamus swells and it improves the communication between the two lobes, which some believe also increases the IQ of those kids. And I wonder if something like that doesn't happen when we teach our children to pray and it is a consistent part of their life. I believe it changes the chemistry inside of us. I really do. I really do. All right, discipline. First of all, when I talk about disciplining children, what is the first thing that comes to mind? Don't think, just say it. Spanking, that's right. Well, spanking or corporal punishment is just a small part of what discipline is about. I took the liberty of looking up the word discipline in the dictionary, and here's what it said. Discipline is training, that's your next blank there, that develops self-control, orderliness, and efficiency. Discipline is training that develops self-control, orderliness, and efficiency. So to discipline your child is to train them in what?
Self-control,
orderliness, and efficiency. Well, Zig Ziglar puts it this way. One of the saddest things about over-permissiveness, and that is when a parent lets a child run loose and do everything he wants to do, is that it sets up expectancy in the child's mind that others should and will treat him the same way. This is both unreasonable and unrealistic. This is certainly poor preparation for survival in our world today. Over the long haul, this leads to serious problems for both child and parents because many, or even the parents' best friends, will not welcome the intrusion into their home of a little monster who is destructive, selfish, bad-mannered, ill-tempered, and who abuses their own children. This causes the undisciplined one to feel rejected and certainly damages her ego and self-acceptance. Discipline and order are part of the natural laws of the universe. The child who has not been disciplined with love by his little world, i.e. the child's family, will be disciplined generally without love by the big world. And that's a quote, Zig Ziglar. You see, in many ways, discipline has as much to do with persistence and consistency as it does with what we would consider discipline, which we're going to talk about those two things next. But for now, know that discipline is a biblical concept. The kind of discipline that Hebrews 12 is speaking of is a discipline that includes the whole gamut from what I call a gentle wooing to a severe flogging. I think most adults I think most adults would agree with what Zig Ziglar said. Because the world doesn't care, does it? Man, it just knocks you around all over the place. And that's why our church family and our core family, we need to understand that there's discipline with love. Folks, children are extremely intelligent, especially when it comes to making and to what makes their parents tick. Amen? Amen. They know exactly what button to push, and they save it until the opportune time, right, to push that button that they know will set you off, right? Sometimes it's calculating, but many times they just know what they need. You hear me? Sometimes it is calculating. They are intelligent. But sometimes they just know what they need. Dr. Ross Campbell says that the most important part of good discipline is for the parents to make a child feel loved. It's important that your child know that they are loved even when they are being disciplined. Matter of fact, it is because of your love that they are being disciplined. Kids are also extremely intelligent when it comes to that. They know that ignoring is a symptom of no love. Children and youth equate no rules and no guidelines to no love and not caring.